something for you this morning. And so here's the title of the message, The Importance of Personal Bible Study. And we're going to look at Joshua 1 together, and we're going to look at the first 9 verses. If you found your place, and if you can, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We'll stand together for the reading of God's Word. And by our custom, we'll read these verses responsively. I'll read the first verse. You join me in every other verse. We'll go back and forth and read the last verse, verse 9, together as well. Joshua chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And together in verse 9, ready? Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, obviously, in our text, he's talking about going into the promised land. This is right after the death of Moses, as the text alludes to. And we're not looking at that event, even though we've looked at that event many times before. But we're really focusing on verses 7 and 8. So in the part of that whole text, these are the verses we're going to focus on. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That'll be our focus this morning as we look at this, the importance of personal Bible study. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now, speak to our hearts, speak to the folks who are here. We're here on purpose, and the purpose, Lord, is to hear from you. I pray that would be accomplished, Lord, through your moving in this service this morning. And we ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, we are in Joshua chapter 1, but before we really look into this particular this text here, we're going to go to another text, trying to lead us into, kind of lay a foundation, maybe try to introduce it to us, maybe try to pull us into the message this morning. So I'm going to begin in Acts chapter 17, probably another familiar passage. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. Look at verse 10 with me. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea. Now they're leaving Thessalonica, they're going to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now look with me at verse 11. These, talking about the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and men, not a few. Now I want you to notice, what did these Bereans do? The Bible says in verse 11, they received the word, and then it says they searched the scriptures daily. So they were into the word of God. They received the word, and I think that means the idea that as Paul preached it, they received it, and then they went to themselves and they searched the scriptures. So that's what they did. Now, why did they do it? The Bible says, whether those things were so. What things? The things that Paul was preaching. Now, here's what I want you to understand. These Bereans are new believers. They're listening to maybe, other than Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher in the New Testament. You know what they're doing? They're going to check the Bible to see if he's right. Now, that sounds like, whoa, maybe the Lord's mad about that. Well, notice how often they did it. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, these were more noble than those at Thessalonica, and they see the word with our readiness mind. Search the scriptures daily. This is something they were doing every day as they were hearing the word of God and checking the scriptures. How did the Lord respond to them? Again, verse 11, these were more noble. In other words, the Lord says, this is a good thing. This is a right thing to do. You hear the word of God, that's good, but then to search the scriptures yourself to see whether those things were so. Now, as we consider this idea about our own personal study, searching, reading of God's word, let me stop for a moment, as I tend to do early in the message, and say this. Now, my messages are typically geared towards believers, okay? Primarily, the crowd, any service, is going to be primarily born-again believers. But there's always the likelihood, that the reality that there are unbelievers in our midst. Now, here's what we're thinking. It's the visitor. No, it may be you. Well, I'm a member here. That doesn't give you no guaranteed home in heaven. Well, Pastor White, I've been here. This church is 15 and a half years old, and I've been here 15 of those 15 and a half years. God bless you. Watch this. Joyce Ritz has been with us probably longer than anyone sitting here this morning. She was all the way back in the dining room days. That doesn't guarantee her home in heaven. Well, what guarantees it? Putting your faith in Christ alone. Now, everything I'm going to say about reading your Bible is important to believers, but if you're not a believer, most likely when you read the Bible, it's just a bunch of words on paper. The Bible says these things are spiritually, the things of God are spiritually understood, spiritually discerned. And so I'm going to encourage you to be in your Bible. I'm going to encourage you to read your Bible. I'm going to encourage you to study the Bible. But that is the primary job of a believer. And first, you need to become a believer. And you do that how? By recognizing your sinfulness before a holy God and calling upon Christ to wash your sins away and be your Savior. Now, with that in mind, let me say this. When we think about reading the Bible and studying the Bible, it is not simply a religious ritual. Maybe you've been involved in a church or some type of religion, and they had a lot of rituals. Quote this prayer, count these beads, do this, light this candle. A lot of ritualistic stuff. That is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about just a ritual. We're talking about something the Lord wants you to be personally involved in and understand what you're doing, and the Lord wants to work as you do it. Reading our Bible, studying our Bible, is one of the basic building blocks of the Christian life. I would tell you this, that if you're not reading the Bible for yourself, you're probably not growing much as a believer. It is one of the basic building blocks of the Christian life. Now, with that said, let me give you two statements. We're not into our text yet. We're not into the major application. Just bear with me. We'll get there in a moment. Let me give you two things about this. Again, we're just preparing our hearts, hopefully, for the message here in a moment. It is God's will. Now, watch the words. I'm saying these words on purpose. It is God's will. Now, that's a heavy statement to make. For a pastor to stand up to people and say, this is the will of God for you. I mean, if it isn't, you're a liar. But I'm going to tell you, it is. This is God's will for every and each believer to study the Word of God. Now, how do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that. Here's what it says in 2 Timothy. Study. Now, this is a command. This isn't like, you know, if it fits. No, this is a command. This is what I want you to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so I would tell you this morning, if you're a born-again believer, the will of God is probably inclusive of several things, but one thing for sure is to study the word of God. This is what the Lord wants you to do. Not only is it the God's will for each and every believer here this morning, but there's a second thing, and we find that in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now watch the end of this verse. That ye may, what is that word next? Grow thereby. Not only is it God's will for each and every believer, but it's also God's means to grow believers in their faith. If you're sitting here this morning and say, Pastor White, I've been saved for X amount of time. I just don't feel like I'm growing. Here's my question. Are you reading the Bible? Because if you're not reading the Bible, you're missing the means by which God wants to grow you. Notice what he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. And by the way, if you have a newborn babe, you know this, it likes milk. It wants milk. And when it doesn't get milk, it gets a little fussy, does it not? And the Bible says that's how we ought to be, desiring, wanting, and kind of upset when we're not able to get into the word of God. Now, you say, Pastor White, I come Sunday morning, God bless you. I come Sunday night, well, double bless you. I come Wednesday night, well, triple bless you. But that's not enough. What if your whole diet was you ate breakfast this morning, you eat dinner later, and you don't eat again until Wednesday night, and then you eat dinner Wednesday night, and then you don't eat again until the next Sunday for breakfast? Do you think that would be good enough? Now, if you're trying to lose weight, I guess, but other than that, would that be really a good diet to have? No. Wouldn't you get kind of hungry in between? For sure. And so what God is saying is this is how we diet. This is how we feast on the Word of God. Yes, come Sunday morning. Yes, come Sunday night. Yes, come Wednesday night. But there needs to be time in your own life when you're digesting, receiving and digesting the Word of God. And so as you think about your own Bible study time this morning, as you consider how your life is connected to the Word of God, reading it, studying it, getting into it for yourself, as you think about it, I want you to consider now, as we come back to our text, three important points, three important applications that we see now from our text. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 1, and look with me at verse 7. Now I want to try to help us as we consider what the importance of our own personal time of study and reading the Bible, importance of our personal Bible study. So in verse 7, I want you to notice what he says here. He says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Now watch what he says next. Turn not from it. Notice the phrasing there means you're going to put some effort in it. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Then it says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Again, the whole idea of some effort. Then he says this, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So the first thing I would share with you this morning, if we're going to have this personal Bible study, here's the first thing I want to get across. The means of Bible study, how we do it, involves two things, time and effort. You cannot have a personal Bible study time if you don't spend time studying the Bible. And if you're going to do that, you need to have some effort to make it happen. It's just not going to happen by accident or coincidence. You're not just going to wake up one day, what do you know? I read my Bible, didn't know it. Okay, it doesn't happen. It has some time and effort has to be put into it. So the first thing you must do, if you're going to have this personal Bible study for yourself, you must commit to a scheduled time and a specific plan to read your Bible. If you're waiting for the convenient time. Well, Pastor White, you know, I'm going to just kind of wait for a time that works for me. Let me tell you what that equals. Not reading your Bible. Because there is no convenient time. The flesh does not find a convenient time to read the Bible. Your flesh finds convenient time to do everything else other than reading your Bible, but it's not going to find convenient. You've got to do it on purpose. Time and effort. So if you're waiting for the convenient time, it's not going to happen. You're not going to read your Bible. If you do not have a plan, if you're just like, okay, I'm going to read my Bible, and you just open it up, here, I'm going to read that. And the next day, you just open it up somewhere else, go, here, and read that. You're not going to get much out of it. Haphazard, careless type of Bible reading isn't going to really profit you much. So there has to be a time. There has to be a plan. The plan is the effort, the thinking, the purposefulness behind it. Now, this is typically a Sunday night message, and so I'm going to try to be a little more practical maybe than I would be on a Sunday morning. Let me talk a few words about having a Bible reading plan. People have come to me and they say, Pastor White, I really need to read my Bible. I'm with you. I need to read mine. You need to read yours. That is a good thing. We need to read our Bible. Here's what I'm going to do. Now, I'm talking about a new believer. You never read your Bible, and they say, I'm going to start in the book of Genesis and start reading my Bible. And I may not say it to you, but here's what I'm thinking. That is not going to work out well for you. You mentioned Japan being the graveyard of missionaries. The Old Testament is like the graveyard of Bible readers. I mean, they start in Genesis, and it's kind of exciting. You know, God's creating. He calls Abraham. Before that, you have Noah. Then you have Abraham. And then, these things are happening. And then you get to Exodus, and then you get into Moses and coming out of Egypt and all these things. And then you get to Leviticus. And it's like, full stop. It's like, what in the world? I have no idea. And here's what happens. And you walk away from it. Let me tell you, if you're going to have a plan to read the Bible, if you're just starting, whether you're just recently saved or maybe been saved for a while, but you've really never read your Bible, let me tell you the book to start with, the book of John. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book of the New Testament. Start in the book of John. It's one of the best books to start with. It talks about Jesus. It's very easy to read. And when you get through John, there's 21 chapters, so you can read. If you read three chapters a day, that's 1 week. If you read one chapter a day, that's 3 weeks. And so you can, and however you do it, just keep plugging away at it. And you get to the book of John, 21 chapters. Here's what you do next. Start again in the book of John. And read the whole book again, because you're going to find out you missed things. You're going to be like, oh, I read that, and I didn't, okay, that's good. And read the whole book of John again. And then when you get done with it the second time, watch this, read it again. Read it about three or four times. And you're going to say, wow, there's so much there. Every time I read it, God keeps giving me something, because that's how the Lord works. You get through the book of John, go to the book of Romans. Read it three or four times. After you read the book of John, after you read the book of Romans multiple times, then you read the New Testament. After you read the New Testament, then go into the Old Testament. Now you're kind of ready. Now you have a foundation. Now you have some understanding of some things, and you're not going to be completely lost like, what in the world is Leviticus about? Well, it's about a lot of stuff, but it doesn't make sense, really. For us as believers, the Old Testament really makes sense when we... Okay, it's like if you're watching a movie and like, what in the world's happening in this movie? And you get to the end and it's like, oh, now it makes sense. Well, the New Testament makes the Old Testament make sense. If you read the New Testament and you say, okay, I see where it's going, and then I back up to the Old Testament and I say, okay, yeah, I kind of see how he's getting things ready because I see where it's going. So I tell you, start in the book of John. Read it. Read the book of Romans. Then read the book of New Testament. Then read the Old Testament. And if you do that, you're more apt to be reading through the Bible. Now let me speak a few words. These are just practical thoughts here for a moment. I had a few words about Bible reading the plan. Let me give you a few words about Bible reading time. You have to find a time that works for you. Maybe you have a good friend. Oh, I have my friend so-and-so, my cousin so-and-so, my aunt so-and-so. They read the Bible every morning. Well, if that works for them, great, but that may not work for you. Okay, mornings may not be, I am not the most bright-eyed, bushy-tailed person in the morning. It's a cup of coffee. You know, throw water in your face, a couple more coffee, throw water in your face, throw coffee in your face. It takes a few moments for my brain to engage. A few moments as in it takes a little bit of time to get my brain churning. Okay, so probably if I'm really trying to read the Bible to get a lot out of early morning. Now, I know Doug. Doug is like, he's up at 3 o'clock in the morning, let's go, or whatever. I mean, he seems to be definitely a morning person. I don't know how he does it. I don't really like Doug anyways, by the way. So anyways, I'm just kidding. He's okay. So anyways, morning may not be the time for you. Okay? It may be more in the noonish. It may be more in the evening. Find the time that works and stick with it. Stay at it. Don't get distracted. So find the time that works. Now, probably all of us on our phone, whatever digital device we have, has a Bible app. And sometimes when you're sitting around, maybe at a doctor's office or whatever, you're waiting in line somewhere, and you can pull up the Bible and read it, and maybe you can carry a New Testament around and you can read it. Those snippets of times are great, but that cannot be your scheduled Bible time. Because those are kind of hit or miss. You never know what's going to happen. I'm not against those times, and I've used those times, and those can be profitable times, but I'm talking about specific time to sit down with the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to your heart. And when you do that, you're going to need some things. You're going to need quietness. If you're in a room and the TV's on and people are running around and everyone's yelling and talking, you're probably not going to get much out of your Bible because you can't focus. You're going to need some quietness. Whatever level it is could be varied, but you're going to need some quietness. You're going to need some privacy probably. And I'll bring this up later, but let me just tell you, you're going to need pen and paper. You know why I read the Bible? For God to speak to my heart. And I hate for him to speak to my heart. And then I'll be honest, sometimes he has said, I've read a verse, I'm like, oh, that is so good. I can't wait to tell someone that. And then I can't remember what it was. It's like, what? Why didn't I write it down? And so get a pen and paper. So if the Lord speaks to your heart, you can put things down. Now, let me poke you, okay? So I gave you some practical things. Let me give you some pokey things in the eye. Ready? You have time for what you want to do. People say, well, I don't have time to read my Bible. Really? Do you ever sleep? Do you ever eat? Do you ever watch TV? Ever do anything on social media? Do you ever do anything like relax, like kick your feet up? You have time for what you want to do. It's not that you don't have time, it's that you're not using the time God has given you. So you have time to read your Bible. Second thing I would poke you with is this: expect Satan to make it hard for you to do this, to keep your plan. Don't be surprised. Don't be like, oh, you know, I try to read my Bible. As soon as I try to read my Bible, everything happened. Yeah, then, you know, Satan is good at that. Okay? As soon as you open the Bible, the phone rings. As soon as you open the Bible, the dog wants to go out potty or whatever. My wife has dogs, not me. Don't judge me. Okay, whatever it is, Satan has ways to make it hard. Now, here's what's going to happen. You're going to read your Bible Monday. Yes! Tuesday. Yes! Wednesday. Yes! Thursday. And you're going to say, oh, I didn't read my Bible today. See, I can't do it. And then you give up. Don't do that. Don't let one bad day ruin it. You're going to have bad days. You're going to wake up in the morning, and as soon as you wake up, the world is going crazy, which is a common thing right now. The world's going crazy, and you're running to catch up. And you always feel like you're 10 minutes behind everything, and you finally get to bed that night, and you're exhausted, and you lay down, and you say, oh, I didn't read my Bible. Now, maybe you can stop and read your Bible then. Most likely, if that's your day, your brain is tired, it's exhausted, you probably were not going to get anything out of it. Okay, you know what? Tomorrow's a new day. Ask the Lord forgive you. He's a very gracious God. Saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I got away from it. Please forgive me. Get up the next morning. Get at it again. Don't let one bad day ruin it. Some people, they do so well and then have a bad day and then they just like they throw up their hands and quit. Don't do that. Expect Satan to make it hard. And here's the third thing I'd poke you with. The results will be there. It's going to take time, though. It's like diet and exercise. You know, people say, well, you know, I went on a diet and it didn't help. Okay, you got to do more than a day or two. Okay, it takes a little bit longer than that. You know, I went to the gym and exercised. Okay, but you can't just do it once or twice. It's going to take consistent time, consistent effort over some length of time, length of effort, and then you'll start seeing it. You're not going to see it right away. In fact, you may read the whole Bible through and feel like you got nothing out of it. But be surprised what the Lord is doing in your life. One of the best illustrations someone gave me, because I felt that way. You know, I read the Bible and it's like, didn't really do much for me. They said, here is like the Bible reading. You know what a colander or a sieve is. You know, you put your vegetables in there, you wash them off. He said, that is kind of like how we are. So think of a dirty one, okay? And you put it under the water, and the water runs through it. It never catches the water, but the more you put it under the water, the more it cleans it. And so you may not feel like you're catching anything from the Word of God, but it's working in your life. It's beginning to clean your mind and clean your thoughts and clean your attitudes and clean your heart. It's beginning to work in your life. Let the Word of God work in your life over a period of time. And so the first thing I would share with you this morning about this importance of personal Bible study is the means is time and effort. Now the next two are a little bit quicker, I think. So let's go back again to our text here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. And I want you to notice the second thing with me, this idea of personal Bible study. Look in verse 7, and it says this, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. That brings us to our second application. Number two is this, the goal of Bible study is obedience. We read it not to get a big head and say, hey, how much you want to know how much Bible I know? No, not really. I want to know how much Bible you're living. That's really what I'm looking for. And so the goal of Bible study is obedience. Now, I'm going to start with an analogy that makes no sense whatsoever, and I'll give you a second analogy that hopefully connects and makes sense out of both of them. As a kid, I loved iced tea. I still like iced tea, but I typically drink my iced tea unsweetened with lemonade, Arnold Palmer, swamp water, whatever you want to call it. That's how I drink it now. But as a kid, I love sweet tea. Not sweet tea like, you know, I grew up in the South, not the Southern sweet tea, which, you know, it's like, you know, they take syrup and add sugar to it. I don't mean that kind of sweet tea. I mean, but it's more of a Northern sweet tea. But I used to love iced tea. We would drink it, you know, especially as a kid running around the summer, man, I just, a cold glass of ice. It was like the perfect drink. And I loved it. And my mom would make it, and she'd make it in a big gallon thing, and we'd drink it up, and it would be gone in no time. And I'm like, Mom, you got to make more tea. I'm dying of thirst, Mom. You got to make tea. And my mom, always being a gracious, loving person, she'd say, well, drink some water then. I don't like water. It's good for you. It won't rush your stomach. Drink some water. But I don't want water. Well, then just go thirsty, okay? And that's the way it was. So I had to wait until my mom made some more iced tea. Then one day, glorious day it was. I watched my mom make tea, and I said, I can do that. I know how to do that. And I learned to make iced tea like that. I like it by myself. It changed everything. The whole world changed at that point. I can make my own iced tea. Boy, it can't get better than that. And I would drink gallons upon the gallons upon gallons of iced tea. It was a great day. Let me give you another. And I know you're thinking, what has that to do? Stay with me. As a kid, I was a bus kid. I rode the bus like many of the kids back here in these two rooms. They rode a bus in. Some adults rode a bus in. I was a teenager. I rode the bus into church. And I would be there Sunday morning, primarily because I rode the bus. I didn't really have a way to get there. And then finally I got my old VW bug and could get there on my own, but starting with, I rode the bus in Sunday morning only, because that's the only time the bus ran. And I would come to church as a teenager and receive the Word of God, and it was good. I enjoyed it. I learned things. I've told you some things I learned, and I would receive the Word of God for myself. But then I had to wait a whole nother week before I got anything else. You can kind of get thirsty between Sunday and Sunday. And I thought, man, I just can't wait till next Sunday. Boy, I need the Lord's help in my life. Then my pastor one time was preaching, and he said, you know, if you read roughly three chapters a day, maybe four, you can read the entire Bible through in a year. I was a teenager, and I said, well, I know how to read. I can do that. And I started reading the Bible for myself. I would go home and read it for myself. I'd come home from school and get my Bible out, and I'd read three or four chapters. And you know what began happening? Just like it was in learning how to make iced tea, I began learning how to get things out of the Bible for myself. It changed everything. I didn't have to wait till the next Sunday. I could go into the Word of God and receive things from God. And I began looking things. I remember the day, this is an odd thing to tell you, but I remember the day, because I've been doing that for a while, and really, you know, I'm just doing it because I was supposed to do it. But one day I read the Bible, and it's like a light bulb went on. Boink. And I saw something in the Bible that I wasn't doing, that I was supposed to be doing. And I said, the pastor didn't tell me that. My Sunday school teacher didn't tell me that. The Bible told me that. I can see in the Bible how I'm supposed to live my Christian life for myself. Man, this changes everything. I can get something out for myself. And just like learning how to make iced tea, I learned how to get things from the Word of God and how to put those things in practice in my life. And that is the goal of our Bible study, is obedience. We're not telling you to read the Bible just to become some Bible scholar, but read the Bible for yourself. Learn it for yourself. Let God speak to your heart. You know why we do this? Because when we're reading the Bible, we're seeking the Lord's specific instructions to us. And when you do that, it changes how you read the Bible. When you're reading the Bible, looking for the Lord to speak to your heart, you're not just going, and he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, got through that one, check that box off. Instead, we're reading like this, Lord, open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What are you speaking to me about? And we read and we say, hey, wait a minute. The Lord, God's got something there for me. And we begin obeying the Bible, putting the Bible in practice for ourselves. No longer is the Bible simply a book of names or lineage. So-and-so begat so-and-so and he died, and so-and-so begat so-and-so and he died, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. It's no longer just a bunch of lineage, a bunch of names, just a bunch of details, but there are practical instructions about living for Jesus. Psalms 119 says this, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. That's the idea. I'm going to learn the Word of God so I can put some things in practice. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And again in verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's a verse I just quoted. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath into thy judgments at all times. I said earlier, when you're reading the Bible, have a pen and paper. And the reason you have a pen and paper is this, because you're saying, Lord, speak to my heart. And when he speaks to your heart, you want to write it down and say, okay, here's something I need to be working on, or here's something I need to change, or here's something I need to focus on, or I need to maybe look this up and understand this better, or maybe I don't understand this, and maybe I need to go ask so-and-so what exactly does that mean. If you're serious about doing what God is saying, then you need to write things down, examine your life, and let the Lord begin working in your life. The goal of Bible study is obedience. Let me give you the third statement. So I said the means is time and effort. The goal is obedience. Now watch this. Number three is this. The outcome of Bible study is the glory of God. It's always about Him. It's never really about us. It's always about Him. Go back with me to chapter 1, look at verse 8, because there's something here that we tend to read over and not think much about. And I'm going to jump into verse 8 because of time towards the middle of it. He talks about meditating day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then he says this, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, it sounds like on the surface that it's about them, but it's not about them. What God wanted to do in their life was not about them, it was about Him. You see, God has had a plan from the beginning. Before there ever was a heavens, before there was an earth, before anything was ever created, God had a plan. His plan was for Jesus Christ to come down and die for our sins. He knew that before He created us. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It wasn't like this. God didn't look down and go, man, now what am I going to do? Look, they sin. No, no. God knew about sin. God had a plan. The plan has always been Jesus Christ. That's the only plan that God has. It's never been works. It's never been religion. It's always been Jesus. And so God had a plan. Part of that plan was then for Jesus to be born and to be born in a nation called Israel, in a town called Bethlehem. We'll celebrate that here in a couple months. But for there to be a nation called Israel, for a town to be Bethlehem and the nation of Israel, that means the Israelites had to come out of Egypt and get there for that to happen. You know why God wanted the Israelites in the promised land? Because God knew that's where the Messiah was going to be born. God is working on His plan. It wasn't simply to give these people land so that, hey, look, I got a bunch of land here. No, it's like, this is where I'm going to send my son to be born. You need to prepare for it. You need to do these things so that this plan is going to happen and the Lord is working. So all of the plan of God for the Jews was this idea of getting them to the promised land. And what He said is, if you get into the Word of God, to the Israelites, and you meditate and you do those things, I can bring about what I'm trying to bring about, which glorifies who I am and what I'm doing. The ultimate purpose, the ultimate outcome of when we study our Bible is to bring glory to God. John chapter 5, verse 39, very famous verse. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now watch this. And they are they which testify of me. As you read, as you study the Bible, here's what you're going to see, more and more about Jesus. Here's what you're going to find, that it's not all about you. I know this surprises us, because we think, like, you know, what, aren't I in the center of the universe? Isn't it all about me? No, it's not. It's all about Him. You know how you're going to find that out? By reading the Bible and realize it's all about Jesus. I mean, what do we have to brag about? You start in this side of the auditorium, and you work all the way to that side of the auditorium, including the platform, and here's what you're going to find. We're a bunch of sinners. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. I mean, that's the best things we do. There's nothing special about us. Left to our own devices, we are just miserable people. What makes the difference in a person, in a church, in a nation, is Jesus Christ. It's always all about Him. And as we study the Bible, that's what we begin seeing. He becomes high and lifted up. So the more we study the Bible, the more we see God lifting up his name and pointing people to himself. Let me just show you a couple examples of what I mean. Isaiah 48, "For my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off." He's talking about the nation of Israel. "Behold, I've refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it." Ephesians chapter 1 says this, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." You know, there's a lot of good things the Lord does for us. Because he's a good God. Not because we're good people who deserve it. He's a good God to us. John 16 says this, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of the truth, is come," that's the Holy Spirit, "he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come." Now look at verse 14. "He," talking about the Holy Spirit, "shall glorify me." Me in this context is Jesus Christ. "For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." In other words, the Holy Spirit uses his word to lift up the name of Jesus so that we glorify him. So here's what I'm saying. All that to say this. Effective Bible study results in a humble believer praising his glorious Savior. Let me tell you what happens at the end of, really when we're studying the Bible and we're reading it. Here's what often happens. We stop and say, "Wow, you really are a good God to me. I don't deserve all the goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for how good you are." That's when you know the Lord is at work. If that isn't happening, if you're reading the Bible and there's no humbleness, praising of your Savior, if that's not happening, I would stop and say, "Lord, I don't just want to know a bunch of things. I want to know a person, and that person is you. Please speak to my heart as I read your word." So here's what I would tell you tonight. Sorry, this morning. We need to be like the Bereans. We need to come to church and receive. That's what they did. They came and received. But then we need to go home and search the scriptures daily. Why? It'll grow our faith. Why? It will solidify our convictions. What I believe, I listened to my pastor, Pastor Darnell, when I was young. I learned some things, but I believe what I believe because I see it supported in scripture. I don't believe what I believe because that's what Pastor Darnell said. No, I can give you things he told me that I now believe. I learned it from him, but I went to the scripture and found it for myself. I searched the scriptures to see whether those things were so. It will grow your faith. It will solidify your convictions. It will lift up God's name in your life. That's the importance of our personal Bible study. Would you bow your head and would you pray with me? Now, Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. I think